God reaching your houses right now. The glory of God blessing you guys right now. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts. Touch them. Bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare your glory. We declare your blessings over everyone right now. Thank you for Family Life Church. Thank you for this beautiful weather that you are bringing to us. But thank you also for the opportunity for those internet and systems that is out there to continue reaching people. Thank you for the opportunity to also giving us your word and giving the revelation of your word. We continue receiving it with humbleness and declaring that your glory is with us, that you are using us, that it's not us with our own understanding or our own believing, is because of you. You. We trust in you and we declare that you are using us as a vessel and you continue talking to the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare also that you are here with us and that you are continue building our church. A church that is growing to continue blessing the community, blessing everyone that you already have in your plans to be touched. Also, we ask you, Lord, to continue healing all the people from the church that they are sick right now, that they might be in the hospital, and we declare healing. We declare your word over them. We send them in the name of Jesus Christ, declaring that you are the healer and you are the doctor by excellence, always. Thank you also for the provision. We declare provision over everyone right now. We declare also protection over everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. We praise you. We worship you. We declare your glory over us and in us. Holy Spirit, continue touching us. Continue using us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this time and opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As you know, church, right now online, you know that you have the opportunity to also use the service that we have online for giving. So please feel free to go online and also have the blessing and opportunity to give. Something that the scripture says about that is really interesting, it is that the word says that give not by necessity, but give how you propose in your heart. So when you're giving, you have to give with the heart. You have to give with how you are proposing in your heart to give to the church, how do you give to the people, how you give to everyone. Giving is not just money, but also giving worship to God, giving the glory to God when he's using you, when he's healing you, when he's providing you, protecting you. But also, when you do it with happiness, with joy, because I will continue blessing you, your family, and also glorifying God through that blessing. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay, so let's start with this awesome blessing word that God is giving us today. We are continue talking about endurance. So we have a series, and today is the second sermon of endurance. We're going to start talking today about resist. Resist is the part of the word that God wants us to understand and continue moving forward. So that way we can understand what's going on in our spiritual life and how we can manage that so we can overcome anything that is against us right now. I want to like to open with this, and it is about a story from a motorcycle, a van, and a car. They are running. They're going against each other to see who will be the best and whom will be endurance the race. So the rules were set, and each vehicle was to drive 200 laps around a quarter mile track. Each vehicle agreed to these, and the race began. After 10 laps, the motorcycle was in the lead against the car and the van by a large margin. Around 50 laps, he had started to lose ground against the car, and it was only ahead of the van. Now, when they get to around 150 laps into the race, the motorcycle pulls into the pit stop and declares that he is quitting the race. When asked why, his only response was, "It's because I'm just too tired. I'm too tired," number two, one and two. He's just too tired. So the point of view of that, it is because you have just maybe limitations, or maybe you don't have the same capabilities. Any way you can finish your race, you can finish your race in your life. You can finish the goal that you have in your life. So today, I just want to share with you guys how we can resist. Any way we have maybe two tires, maybe other ones have four, maybe other ones have a better motor than you. You can continue and resist and finish the race. Do not quit. And something that I like to open, it is Ephesians 6:10. As you guys know, Ephesians 6:10 is talking about the armor of God. But there's something over there really important to understand. And it is Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Okay? "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." That's something that I want to make sure that we understand as a church, as a body, and everyone else over there that is watching me right now. This fight, what you're going through right now in a daily basis, every second, every moment, every minute, is not against flesh and blood according to the Bible. It is according all or against the devil's schemes. The continuation of the scripture says, "But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So what is that saying? It's not against blood and flesh. It means like it's not against my neighbor. It's not against my coworker. It's not against my friends or my family members. Always there's a spiritual realms happening, or schemes, devils, that is happening around us, that is trying to remove us out of the purpose of God. There's always that. And we need, as a church, we need to understand that the spiritual environment is the priority. The spiritual environment is what is real in our life. God keeps talking to us about the flesh and the blood and the worldly or earthly stuff that is happening. That's going to pass away. That's not eternal. So why we are focusing on those stuff? Why we are keep worrying about my neighbor and my friend and my all the situation that is happening against me? Always, there's a background of that. Always the enemy of our souls is trying to remove us from the purpose of God. Always, all the time. So we have to understand that. We have to prioritize that mindset so that we can strategize our life and not go against those friends and coworkers, because they might have their own issues and problems in situations like me, like you also. All of us have our own issues and problems, and we're dealing with them. And the devil is always trying to remove us from that purpose of God, that will of God in our life, through those experiences, through those situations. That's always the priority. Now, today I want to share with you guys how we can resist that, because the scripture is talking about that. And in James 4, 1 through 12, let's go there. James 4, 1 through 12. This is an amazing word, and here we're going to share with you guys six principles that God wants us to understand and to get victory out of this. Because if we understand this and prioritize this in our life, we will be blessed. We will be glorifying God. We will see his glory manifested in our life. We will continue being protected, provided. We will continue seeing his glory. But we need to understand this, that my fight is not against my wife. It's not against my son. It's not against my daughter, or against my coworkers or members from church. My fight is against those spiritual things that is happening. Always in the background or in the middle of that situation, something is always happening from the enemy to remove us out of that purpose of God. Always. We have to have that look. We have to have that mindset, so that will help us to get the victory. The enemy is trying to avoid us to not seeing it that way and just see it as an early thing. So that way our emotion and our own decisions will manifest and then will be corrupting and not being compliant with the word of God. That's why we need to understand these principles today to be blessed by the word of God. Verse 1 starts saying, James 4, 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? See this interesting thing. James starts talking, what is those fights that you are having? What is causing that? And then he answered you with another question saying, don't they come from your desires? The battles within you? And then he's saying in continuation in verse 2, your desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. That's really specific over here right now. It's not against flesh and blood. It is spiritual. When you ask, says the word of God, when you continue saying you do not have because you do not ask God. Now when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And this is not just talking about Lamborghinis and Ferraris. This is not just talking about those good things outside there that you say, oh, I want to have a beautiful, nice house. Anyway, I cannot afford it, but I want to have it. Those desires, those pleasures, or a better car like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, you know, spending a Porsche, $200,000, something like that. No. Because James starts talking about what causes fights and quarrels among you. And when it says among you, it's talking about my member, my another friend, my another church member, my another coworker, another person similar to me. Among you. Talking to them, to us right now. Now, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motive. So when you are praying to God, what is your motivation out of that? When you're having those problems and fights in your life, what is the motivation on your heart? What is your thinking right now? Are you really praying from your heart to restore that relationship between you and the church member, or maybe the coworker, or maybe at home with your family member? Or are you really like having those prayers saying, oh, change his life or something like that, when maybe I'm going to get to the point to be judgmental and we will get over there according to Scripture. Again, the enemy of our souls is over there trying to create that separation between us. The enemy is trying to separate us from that beautiful principle from God, which is love each other. Verse number 4 says, you adulterous people. Why? Because if we keep just focusing in one thing, and it is God, believing in Him and just Him, and we get deviated to that, then we'll become adulterous. Because now, I love you, God, but I want to also follow my desires or follow these other gods doing what they want me to do based on my flesh. That's why James says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us. But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. It says over there, really specific, if we are friend of the world, and what the world is saying, if someone offends you, offend him back. If someone does something against you, do something against that person back. And when you become a friend of the world, now you are adulterous, because now you don't want to follow God. Anyway, maybe you, with your mouth saying, oh, I love God, I follow God. But then at the other side, I keep following the stuff from the world, which is not believing the spiritual battle that we have in a daily base and going against that so that way we can win the fight. We need to continue believing that our fight, it is against the enemy of our soul, not my friend. We need to pray against those things. We need to pray against the enemy, what he wants to do, and what we can do to continue be more fruitful on that point of view. What we can do to continue being better. So the Bible, the Scripture is sharing with us six principles. And the number one, it is in verse number 7. And it says, submit yourselves then to God. James start going from verse 1 to verse 6 all the way explaining what is going on in our life. Let me teach you. Let me explain you what's going on in our life right now, so that way you can understand how to live and how to apply these principles. So he didn't went straight to the principles and say, do these things. No, he said, let me explain you what's going on. The fight that you have right now among your friends, members, co-workers, and other person, it is based on your desires. We have to be careful, because we need to protect this. We need to gain this battle against the enemy. The enemy is trying to do this stuff, and also is doing it here at church. So we need to control this. We have the responsibility to win the battle against the enemy. The first point, it says, submit yourself. Submit yourself is the first one. Because after he explained everything, then he said, submit yourself then to God. Not to the world. Not to your own desires, but to God. And what is that? It means surrender to his authority and will. Surrender your life to him and his control. And be willing to follow him. Submit, what does that mean? It means to be subject. Humiliate a person. To be humble to God. When you have that heart, that you have that subordination or be subordinate to God, you are subject to Him. You're subject and depending on Him. That's how submit it means in our life. We have to submit completely to Him. Completely to God. That's the first principle that James is sharing with us. In order to win this fight against the enemy, submit to God. And this is why we are sharing with you guys this sermon today. The second point. The second point is shared in verse 8. Sorry. Verse 7. Continuation. Resist the devil. Resist. In order to endure this life, spiritual life, or have endurance in this spiritual life that we are living right now, you have to resist the enemy. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Pay attention, because it says resist. The only responsibility that we have is resist. But in order to resist, you have to submit to God first. You cannot resist with your own understanding. You cannot resist with your own desires on your flesh. You have to resist after you submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You want to see him flee? You want to see him out of the picture, out of the problem, out of among our fights? Resist him. What do you mean resist? Don't let it seduce and tempt you. That's what he will try to do with our life. He will try to seduce and tempt you and me, our own desires, our own pride, because you want to see manifestation of hurting or suffering on that other person. Leave it to God. God will manage everything. The only responsibility that we have is submit to God. And that way we can be strong enough to resist the devil. And if we resist the devil, we can win this fight. He will flee from us. It doesn't say anything else. It just says resist. So in other words, it's also saying to tolerate, to endure, to suffer. Fight passions and desires from us. In the original Greek, it means stand against, that is oppose. That means the enemy will continue trying to put those desires in you, tempting you to go against your brother, your family member, those fights against those person like is similar than you, another creation from God. But the only thing that is asking you, God, right now, it is tolerate it, endure, suffer, fight the passions against your desires, stand against that and oppose it. It means to put something against another thing to hinder. When you submit to God, you can resist the enemy. That way he can flee from us. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God for that. So resist, and he will flee. That will give you the victory. Continuation on verse 8, it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's the third point that I want to share with you guys today. Come near to God. God is telling you, come near, and I will come near to you. But the first step that we need to do is to come near to him. It means between God and me, there might be some time or space that has been affected. Affected by me or affected by the enemy. Let's start again. Submit to God. I can resist the enemy. He flee. Now I can come near to God. And now that I can come near to God, he will come near to me. Because I'm proposing from my heart to start moving forward and come near to God. Hallelujah. And then he will come near to me. So he's telling you, come near. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I'm in point B. You are point A. Just move forward. Just believe. And he will come near to you. The fourth point that I want to share with you guys today, it is wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So there's two things over here inside of this four point number four, or principle number four. Number one is cleaning your hands. And number two is, hey, purify your hearts, double-minded. Pay attention to that. Because it says, first of all, now that I come near to God and now he come near to me, he's telling you, okay, let's clean our hands. But then also for the people that is double-minded, purify your hearts. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, when we go back and we see there's a different stories, right? The priest, he cleans his hands before to presenting the service or worship or sacrifice to God. Also, we can see Pilate, when he cleans his hand, before he give Jesus Christ to the people, to the community, to crucify him. He say, I'm going to clean my hands because I don't see any sin from this guy, but I'm going to let you guys decide. So in other words, cleaning your hands, it means removing your guiltiness, removing that guilty from you. It's cleaning your hands. I'm not guilty. I'm cleaning. There's another also principle in the Bible talking that when someone assassinates someone, the elders from the near town, they go and sacrifice an animal and clean their hands over that animal just to show innocency. I'm innocent of this. So it's the same concept for the three different scenarios. It's showing that I'm innocent. I submit to God. I resist the devil or whatever temptation he's showing to me. Then I become near to God. And then I'm showing my innocency through Jesus Christ because he died for me. And I'm accepting and believing that. And because I'm accepting and believing in that, I'm innocent because his blood cleaning me. Now, the other second point inside of that principle number four is purifying your hearts. But who? Specifically, the Bible says the double-minded. There's people, us, human beings, that in our hearts, we still have double-minded. We're still thinking in the earth, flesh, and also spiritual stuff. So God is telling through this scripture, purify your hearts. What does all that mean? That means that is led a pure life. This is leading to a pure life. Replacing the desires to sin with the desires to experience the purity of God. Let me suggest that the hands are cleansed through the process of putting off the natural man and overcoming sin and evil influences in our lives through the Savior's atonement. The heart is purified by receiving the strengthening from power to God or from God and become better. It's giving some guidance, which is principles in the Bible. It's showing us what we need to do so that way we can be or endure better in these spiritual realms. The number five that I want to share with you guys, it is verse number 9. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Do not be afraid to express deep sadness of heart for what you have done. Always share with God. You know that we fail sometimes. And you and I know that we also were sinners. And we're still sinners sometimes, right? So do not be afraid to sorrow, lament, and cry, to have a sincere regret to God and say, sorry. After I clean my hands and purify my heart, I'm crying and lamenting in front of you, God, and say, sorry. But continue helping me because that will show our sixth and last point that I want to share with you guys, which is number 10, verse number 10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What a blessing. After all that, the sixth one and last one, sixth point or principle, it says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Submit to God. Resist. Just resist. It doesn't say anything else. We just stand firm, believing in God, trusting in him. But now I already submit to God. So I have that strength. Now I come near to God. I cleanse my hand, purify the hearts, those double-minded. Sorrow, lament, and cry with sincere regret for their sins. And now I present to God humble. So the God that we serve will exalt you and me. So he's going to put you in that place that he wants you to be. Humbling ourselves means that our worth comes only from God. Being humble involves acting with his power, according to his guidance. Not mine, not yours. Is him. Not our own efforts. Although we do not deserve his favor, he loves us, gives us value and dignity despite our human defects. What a blessing. So, in other words, what is humble? Being humble, it means keep your mind understanding that you and I do not deserve his favor. His mercy allows us to get that favor. And that humbleness also is understanding that it's Him putting me in the place that I am right now, or that I am at right now. Work, church, ministry, friend, father, son, name it. That specific place that He's putting you, that you are blessed, protected, that you might be a boss, an owner of a company, maybe the best worker in your work, the best dad and friend, is Him putting you over there. It's not you from your own strengths or efforts. It's Him putting you over there. That's humbleness. That's you being humble. And according to the scriptures, it says that when we understand those things, He will exalt you. He will put you in that place. Because we understand it's Him, it's not me. Because me, with my own strength and understanding, I understand that I will not make it, because I will be all earthly or flesh. But when it's spiritual, when you are just thinking about, thank you are the one putting me here. You are the one opening the doors. You are closing the doors that you don't want me to go. You are the one. Everything in your life, when you're looking at that way, which is prioritizing the spiritual, not the earth or flesh, that will open the doors with God. That will be continually blessing you in a magnificent ways. Jesus summarized the law in loving God and neighbor, right? We know that. Paul says that the love shown to all our neighbors amply satisfied the law. When we do not love, are we breaking the law? I'm going to let you think about that one. Because that was the law that Jesus Christ left to us. The law that He left, and He say, if you love your neighbors and God, in other words, you satisfy the whole law. We know that principle. Now, when we are not loving our neighbors, when we are not loving God with our own strength, are we satisfying the law? Or are we breaking the law that Jesus Christ left? Examine your behavior, your attitude towards others. Ask yourself the question, do I edify or distress others? Spiritual, always. The first filter that He have to go through every situation in our life, it should be go through the filter of spiritual things or spiritual realms. Because the enemy is from there trying to seduce and tempting you and me to fail, to not follow God, to be separated from my church member or my friend or my wife. Always we have to go through that filter. Do not go by the filter of the culture, society, the way that we grew, the way that we learned from our fathers. Because that maybe was from the flesh, from the earth stuff, a world, not from the spiritual, from God. The Bible will show you how we're supposed to manage those things. James 1:12, the Bible says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And when you see this in another version, and it says, blessed is the one, when that person goes under that trial, because having stood the test, that means having that approved, accepting, resist. When you resist that test, that person will receive the crown of life. So the resistance, we have to make sure that we apply those principles in order to resist the enemy, so that way he can flee from us. When you are about to maybe judge or criticize someone, remember God's law of love and say something good instead. Saying something beneficial to others will cure you of your tendency to find fault with others and increase your ability to obey God's love or God's law. I want to leave you with this. 1 Peter 5:5 through 11 also. This is two different persons. James 4, 1 through 11. And let me continue over there. James 4, 1 through 12. I finish with number 10, which is humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up, or lift you up, yep. 11, what it says? Resume. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. This is the Bible. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, not us. The one who is able to save and destroy. Save and destroy. God is love, but he's wrath also. He can save, but also according to this, he can destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? He's the creator. He's the one that creates your neighbor. He's the one that creates you. So when we are doing this according to Scripture, going against my brother and sister, I'm taking over the judgment and I'm the judge. When you and I, we're not the judge. Christ died for you and me. He can judge. Let's just leave it for him. God created us. He's the one, not us. So we have to be humble. And he will lift up. He lift you up and me with blessings and great things. Now, James says this. Another person from the disciples, Peter, 1 Peter 5:5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders, to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil. That's your enemy. Not my brother and my sister. Not my wife. Not my family members. Not my co-workers. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's always there. He's always around looking opportunities. Don't give the opportunities to him. Don't give the opportunities. God is blessing you with some awesome words from his Bible, telling you what you need to do. Don't give any opportunities. He's looking around to see, to devour, to remove the purpose of God out of your life. But what it says, number 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Do not move to any other place. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, praise the Lord for that, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Resist. Resist the enemy. The church is the body of Christ. And you have different areas that we need in order to be or unite. You individually, in your life, the devil knows what's going on. And he will try to remove you out of that purpose of God. So, be alert. Be humble. Submit to God. Come near to Him. Clean your hands. Resist the enemy. Stand firm. He will flee from you. He will get out of your life. But the blessing, the principle that God is giving you today, it is resist Him. Don't try to go to another place. Don't try to make your own decisions, your own desires. Resist. Stand firm. Do not move. On the believing that God will continue blessing you, transforming you, creating a better church, a better minister, a better human being, a better leader, a better business in your life, continue believing in that. Have faith on that. If God give you that, don't move. Continue trusting in Him. Resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. And that's the word that God has for us today. In this beautiful negative 40 degrees weather that we have right now today. Thank you. Thank you for being over there from your houses and listen to this word. This is the word of God. This is not my word. This is the word of God. So receive it with humbleness in your heart and apply it in your life. Resist the enemy. That will give you the endurance that you need in your spiritual life. Prioritize that and you will see His glory. Be humble and you will see His glory. God will continue blessing this church. But we need to pay attention to those small details. Because on those small details, words, looks, listening stuff, wording, feeling, you have to be careful. We have to make sure that it's not our flesh or our own desires making the decisions, because that might be affecting the purpose of God for this church or for your individual life also. The purpose that God has for you. We start with the small joke about the motorcycle. Sometimes we're thinking that we are in a race with another people, with another church. No. You have your own race. These churches have their own race. We're not racing against anyone. Like, I need to get first. It's not to get first. It's to finish the race. The motorcycle has two tires. He just needs to finish the race. Not running against anyone else. You're not running against anyone. Your purpose is your purpose. Your race is your race. Just finish it. Don't think like someone else is going to get before you. No. Just continue running. It's you, yourself, against yourself. Finish it. Continue moving forward. And finish it. Resist the enemy. That's the only thing that he's asking you. Resist it. He's going to continue attacking. He's going to continue throwing stuff in your life. Just resist. Hold it. Tolerate it. He will flee. I promise you, because that's what it says over here. And if you believe in God and you believe and you have that faith is strong enough and you believe that what the Bible says, it's going to happen. Because He's not a liar. Thank you, God. Thank you for this open time here. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone that is watching right now through the social media. We declare blessing over the church and over everyone right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we ask you to continue giving the strength to continue moving forward in this race. We're going to finish. We trust in you. Continue also supplying and providing the vision that you have for the church and for individuals that we have here. Also continue giving the revelation of understanding the spiritual realms, and to continue believing that that's the real thing, not the earth or flesh, and that we are going to, that we already win. You know, you already defeat the enemy. The enemy responsibility will be to start tempting us, throwing stuff against us, to removing us from you, to separate us from you. But our responsibility will be to resist, to tolerate, to stand firm, and not move to the left or to the right, but just forward with you, because we trust in you. We have the confidence and the humbleness that you will continue lifting us and continue blessing us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, bless everyone that is watching. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for the blessings that you are giving in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So right now I just want to continue visiting the church on Wednesday. We don't have any cancellation of Wednesday prayer meeting. So it is going to be at 6:30 p.m. And also we have the small groups continuation of that on Mondays and Thursdays. Please, if you don't have a small group, raise your hand or call the responsible person so that way we can continue communicating with you and you can be part of a small group, which is going to be a great blessing. We share over the scriptures, and as a group, it's really a nice moment and time with God. Also, we will continue seeing you next Sunday here at church. Again, it's a great blessing to be here and be part of this church. Please continue blessing others. Continue working each other as a church, as a body, and we will see God's glory. It's our own responsibility to continue moving forward. Be a doers of the word, not just a listener, but also a doers. And God will continue blessing you, your family, your friends, and everything that he has for you. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you next Sunday, if it's not in the small group or Wednesday prayer meeting. Thank you, church. God bless you. Bye-bye.